Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and after you find Romans chapter 3, then put a marker there and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be bouncing back and forth between Romans and Ephesians 6. We're looking at spiritual armor and in Ephesians, or spiritual warfare, excuse me, and focusing now on the armor in Ephesians 6. Jesus said in John's gospel that for those of us who are in Christ, we are secure, held securely in God's hand. The psalmist tells us that God protects us with his mighty right arm. And praise the Lord for this testimony of being held securely by the Lord, protected by him as well. Do you believe this? Or do you give a mere mental assent? If you believe that we are secure in Christ and protected by the Lord, then we need to let these truths marinate into our soul. We need to meditate on these truths. Now, God gives Christ followers spiritual armor for at least two reasons. I'll give you two P words to help you remember them. God gives us, Christians, the spiritual armor to prepare us, first of all. And this preparing we see in a word like equip or equipping in the scripture. This equipping us for battle, preparing us for battle for the Christian life. The second P word is protection or protect. God gives us the spiritual armor to protect us. We are engaged in spiritual battle, and there are times in our life when storms come and seemingly could overwhelm us, except for the fact that we have been prepared and protected by the Lord. Now, hopefully you have Ephesians 6 open. Will you join me in standing? I'm going to begin reading verse 10. These are verses we've already looked at. Just by review, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Father, with our Bibles open in our hands, use your word to draw sinners to Christ. Use your word, teach us your word, so that we can stand firmly in Jesus Christ, prepared for battle, protected in battle. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So now put your marker in Ephesians 6. And turn over to Romans 3, if you would, please. Let's return to the belt of truth for just a moment. Last week, a few people commented to me on their way out of the service that they would like a little bit more on truth. So I'm happy to oblige. I want to borrow something from John MacArthur's theology. Co-authored John MacArthur and Dick Mayhew. We know Dick Mayhew. He's been here and preached a couple times. He is Al Netlingham and Joe's brother-in-law. Well, Ron Moore, Al Netlingham, and I meet on Wednesday mornings at 7, and we're reading this theology together. If that's something you might be interested in, men, then talk to me about that. Love to have you join us. But in their chapter on bibliology, they included these five claims based on biblical truth. And we're just going to blitz through these because we don't have time to go into any depth. The first claim is God is, or God exists. And we know Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. Write down these references. You can look them up later. You can also go read Psalms 14 and 53. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. The second claim is God is true. We see this in Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 speaks to us about him who is true. Now, I took the time this week to look up in Webster's dictionary the word true, and there are 9 definitions for the word true, and I just want to review these with you. Listen carefully. The first definition for the word true is faithful, loyal, or constant. The second definition for the word true is reliable or certain. The fifth definition is rightful or legitimate. Number 7, real, genuine, or authentic. Number 9, honest, virtuous. But number 8 made me chuckle. Number 8, true is determined accurate by the poles of the earth. But God established the poles of the earth. That's awesome. God is true. God is true, and thirdly, God speaks in harmony with his nature. Numbers 23, verse 19, should God change his mind? No. Titus 1, verse 2, God never lies. Hebrews 6, 18, it is impossible for God to lie. Number 4, the fourth claim, God speaks only truth. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God proves true. Psalm 119, the sum of your word is truth. And this familiar verse in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. The fifth claim, God spoke his true word consistent with his true nature to be communicated to people. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, God's word, all scripture, is breathed out by God and is profitable. Profitable for 4 things in our lives: for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Well, there are 2 reasons God gives us his armor: to protect us and to prepare us. And here in 2 Timothy 3:17, God's word has been given to us to equip us, which is to prepare us. Now, the belt of truth secures us. The Roman soldier would take his robe, pull it up, and then strap his belt around so that his legs were free to move. They weren't entangled in his robes, which could be deadly. If he was attacking the enemy or standing his ground, defending against the enemy, it would be deadly if his legs were entangled and he wasn't free to move. This belt of truth secures us in our minds, our hearts, from the distractions of life. Bitterness, anger, fearfulness, worry, These are all things that Satan delights in using to entangle us, distract us. We have to secure ourselves with the belt of truth. Now, we have to be careful, too, as we think about the pieces of this armor. Because as we think about God's word, which is truth, we know how God's word impacted us when we were saved. And we rejoice in the truth that convinced us we were sinners and there was nothing we could do to save ourselves. God's word was involved in our salvation. That's past tense. But we need the truth of God's word if we're going to survive today. As the enemy attacks us, distracts us with the pleasures of the world, the allures of sin, we need the truth to protect us. We need to be pouring the truth into our minds, tying up those loose ends, those entanglements. And we know the battle will rage tomorrow. So we're going to need the truth of God's word to protect us tomorrow. We think about the righteousness of God and the breastplate and God imputing his righteousness to us through Jesus Christ at our salvation. But as I'm growing in grace and coming to understand who Jesus Christ is and what he's wanting to accomplish in my life, as I understand the righteousness of Christ, this relationship with Christ is growing sweeter every day. And I'm becoming righteous in Christ and living righteously in Christ. The righteousness of God not only has impacted my life, but is impacting my life and will continue to do so tomorrow as God protects me. So these aren't just past tense. They're present tense. They're future tense. We could say about God's righteousness that God is right. This is different than, but included along with God's perfection, God's holiness, God's justice. God is always right. Now look at Romans 3:10. God is righteous, but Romans 3:10, none of us are. Not one of us. And look down at Romans 3:21. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. This reminds us of Ephesians 2:8-9. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith, this was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God is righteous. We're not. But at our salvation, God gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And as you look at these verses, Romans 3:21-26, some great words packed in here. Propitiation, redemption, justified, received by faith, the word believe. It's almost enough to get us to shout hallelujah. And it's days like this, I really miss Roger Cox, because he would. So the rest of you, just give me a nod of assent. The Breastplate of righteousness protects our vital organs. And I challenged you last week, don't be distracted by this, because this is not our physical heart. This is not our physical lungs. This is not our physical intestines. This is spiritually speaking. Last week we looked at Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance. And then if you look at verses Proverbs 4:24-27, I think it is, it tells us how to keep our heart. But look at this verse in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word hearts and minds, one each, my heart, your heart, my mind, your mind. The word heart and mind are seemingly used interchangeably or together. Kind of like synonyms. The peace of God will keep my heart, will keep my mind. So, leave a finger in Romans and go back to Ephesians chapter 6. The belt of truth refers to our security or safety from entanglement. It has to do with our preparedness for battle. And all of this is secured in God as truth. This has to do with our strength and mobility. The breastplate protects us with God's righteousness in our heart and in our mind. And the question we have to ask ourselves, are we entangled? Are we entangled in the affairs of this life? Are we entangled in sin? Are we distracted from the gospel? Is there sin that needs to be confessed, forsaken, handled by truth? Are you pursuing an ongoing relationship with truth and righteousness? Now look at verse 15. Ephesians 6:15. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Sure footing for a soldier was an absolute must 2,000 years ago and today. Today, we think about soldiers wearing combat boots. But 2,000 years ago, the Roman soldier had a pair of sandals that he wore on a daily basis. But in his kit, there was another pair of sandals, and this pair of sandals was specially prepared for battle. It was basically a piece of leather, and this leather was secured to the soldier's foot by two straps. One foot, one strap went around the instep and tied on top, and the other one around the back and tied around the ankle. But what was unique about this piece of leather, in the one side they pounded nails that protruded the other side. These nails coming out the bottom of the piece of leather were so that the soldier could grip the earth. And if he's lunging at the enemy, those nails grabbing the earth gave him a stability. If the enemy was lunging at him, he could secure himself by planting his feet and those nails gripping the earth. So how does this impact us? Well, our security, our stability is the gospel of peace. When the enemy attacks us, our grip is in the gospel. The gospel produces peace. Now, flip back to Romans chapter 5. And let me remind you about what Jesus said in Romans chapter 7. Remember Romans chapter 7, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus gives us this illustration, the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. The storms of life come because storms of life come. They do come. Our family, our job, our finances, or spiritually, there's spiritual battles. The storms of life come. And when the storms of life come, the wise man, his house stood. But the foolish man, his house collapsed. When Ann and I lived in West Michigan, our subdivision had access to a private beach. And if you went down to the beach and you turned to the left, which was south, if you turned, there were four houses up on dunes. But one by one, those houses disappeared. One actually started to fall. They secured it, and then they tore it down. The other three had to be moved. When we were at Lake Michigan this summer, we were north of South Haven, and we saw this house, million-dollar house, up on rollers. They were rolling it away from the waterfront because the water was washing the dune away. Well, when the storms of life come to our life, we need firm footing. And that firm footing is in the gospel of peace. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified, we could put redeemed, reconciled, saved. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for the testimony of salvation, the relationship that we have with the Lord through Jesus Christ that gives us peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. This is our stability. This isn't our church. This isn't our Christian friends. This comes and can only come from the Lord. Now, I wish we had time, and you can write this down. Go read Romans 5, 6 through 10. But flip over now to Romans 8, chapter 8, the end of the chapter, because at the end of the chapter, we have these very familiar verses. And I want you to look at Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, you say, well, we know there is an enemy against us. Paul is speaking in comparison. God is so huge. When you look at who is against us, makes you wonder, who? Who can stand against God? If you want to put this in a common vernacular, this is athletes talking smack. You don't have anything. You don't have game. You can't beat me. You don't deserve to be on the same field or court with me. That's what Paul is saying. But then go down to verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul assures us the victory in Jesus Christ because of the relationship we have with him. Verse 38, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The storms of life will come. Satan will send distractions emotionally, physically, socially, spiritually. This is why we need the belt of truth. This is why we need the breastplate of righteousness. This is why we need the gospel of peace. And all of these things are connected. But back in Ephesians 6, verse 15, I want you to notice the word readiness. Having put on the readiness. The gospel of peace makes us ready. This is an interesting word. This is the only time it's used in the New Testament. But when you look at other Greek writings, this word was translated preparation. Or this word was translated equipped. In other words, as shoes for your feet, having put on the equipment given by the gospel of peace, or the preparation given by the gospel of peace. In other words, the gospel of peace prepares us for stability, to stand our ground in the gospel, but it also equips us with the gospel of peace, and it almost makes it sound as though this is offensive. We're going with the gospel. And if you're thinking and cross-referencing in your mind, this should take you back to 2 Timothy 3, because we look at verse 17. The truth, the word of God, is given to us to equip us. To equip us for every good work. I'm not sure who posted it on Facebook. I think it was a quote by Martin Luther or Charles Spurgeon. Not that they were the same century or whatever, but somebody put on Facebook, "God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does." This is what God equips us for. This is Romans chapter 10. This is Ephesians chapter 4. The truth of God's word prepares us for ministry. We don't have time to go to 2 Corinthians 5, but let me show you 1 Peter 3, verse 15. We know this. "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared, always being equipped, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you." So a couple weeks ago, after the baptismal service out back, two people came up to me and said, "We'd like to get together to talk about salvation." "No, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to talk to you." I mean, really? Is that what we're going to say? If somebody says, "What is the gospel?" Are we going to say, "I don't know"? Are we going to say, "I'm not ready to tell you"? What? I mean, how lame is that? The gospel of peace is given to us to equip us. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We're growing in truth. We're growing in righteousness. We're growing in the gospel and the impact on our life of peace. Now, I'm not a joke teller. I really can only remember one joke, and you don't want to hear that. But somebody told me a joke recently, and I did tell a couple of you, and it fits right here, right now. So I'm going to tell this joke in the first person. A friend of mine said to me, "Why are you so happy?" And I said, "CrossFit." And they said, I didn't know you did CrossFit. And I said, I don't. That's why I'm so happy. Has anyone ever said to you, why are you so content? Why are you so happy? Why are you so confident? Not self-confidence, arrogance, but why are you so confident? I mean, look at what's going on around us with COVID and the election and whatever else, craziness, social justice, foolishness and everything. How can you be so confident? How can you be so content? How come you're not falling apart with worry or anger or fear, or whatever else? Why? We'd better be ready with an answer. But if nobody's asking you, why not? Why not? Why isn't anybody asking? Because that's Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord wants to prepare us for battle, the first P, equip us, make us ready. The Lord wants to protect us in battle. He does this through our salvation. He does this through the truth of His Word. And we're diving into the truth, putting it into our minds, letting it saturate us. We're digging into the Word of God and finding out about righteousness and the gospel of peace. And this is making us ready. And we're ready to give an answer when someone asks us. Well, we've been concluding these sermons on spiritual warfare with a song. Today, I'd like to sing a little chorus, What a Day That Will Be. If you know the song, feel free to sing along. If you don't, just listen. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Amen. God bless you.